You're listening to ReachMD. Welcome to this medical industry feature, a spotlight on Cevesa, sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo. This program is intended for healthcare professionals only. Before we begin, please note that Cevesa, edoxaban, is indicated to reduce the risk of stroke and systemic embolism in patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. Cevesa should not be used in non-valvular atrial fibrillation patients with creatinine clearance greater than 95 milliliters per minute because of an increased risk of ischemic stroke compared to warfarin. Cevesa is also indicated for the treatment of deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism following 5 to 10 days of initial therapy with a parenteral anticoagulation. Boxed warnings. Reduced efficacy in non-valvular atrial fibrillation patients with creatinine clearance greater than 95 milliliters per minute. Cevesa should not be used in patients with creatinine clearance greater than 95 milliliters per minute. In the ENGAGE AF TIMI 48 study, non-valvular atrial fibrillation patients with creatinine clearance greater than 95 milliliters per minute had an increased risk of ischemic stroke with Cevesa once daily compared to patients treated with warfarin. In these patients, another anticoagulant should be used. Premature discontinuation of any oral anticoagulant in the absence of adequate alternative anticoagulation increases the risk of ischemic events. If Cevesa is discontinued for a reason other than pathological bleeding or completion of a course of therapy, consider coverage with another anticoagulant as described in the transition guidance in the prescribing information. Epidural or spinal hematomas may occur in patients treated with Cevesa who are receiving noraxial anesthesia or undergoing spinal puncture. These hematomas may result in long-term or permanent paralysis. Consider these risks when scheduling patients for spinal procedures. Factors that can increase the risk of developing epidural or spinal hematomas in these patients include use of indwelling epidural catheters, concomitant use of other drugs that affect hemostasis, such as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, platelet inhibitors, or other anticoagulants, a history of traumatic or repeated epidural or spinal punctures, or a history of spinal deformity or spinal surgery. Optimal timing between the administration of Cevesa and noraxial procedures is not known. Monitor patients frequently for signs and symptoms of neurological impairment. If neurological compromise is noted, urgent treatment is necessary. Consider the benefits and risks before noraxial intervention in patients being anticoagulated or going to be anticoagulated. More important safety information will be reviewed later in the program and can be seen on the viewer.
On today's program, we'll be discussing key issues and challenges with anticoagulation in reduction of risk of stroke and systemic embolism in patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. We'll learn about the clinical benefits of Cevesa that are supported by results from a large trial in AFib patients, the dosing and administration, and highlights of the key safety information by evaluating a hypothetical patient who would be an appropriate candidate for treatment with Cevesa. I am your host, Dr. Shira Johnson, and joining me today is Dr. Martin Burke, who is the Director of Cardiovascular Research Institute of Dallas, affiliated with the Cardiology and Interventional Vascular Associates, and is the principal investigator on many important heart failure, hypertension, and atrial fibrillation research studies. We are presenting on behalf of and receiving compensation from Daiichi Sankyo Incorporated. The information presented is consistent with FDA guidelines, and the program is not CME accredited and may not be used for CME accreditation. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Burke.
Thank you.
I understand that today you'll be taking us through a hypothetical Cevesa patient case. But first, can you give us a brief introduction to Cevesa?
Cevesa is a once-daily selective factor Xa inhibitor, which reduces thrombin generation and clot formation, and is the only once-daily oral anticoagulant proven to have a superiority to warfarin in demonstrating less major bleeding. It is FDA indicated to reduce the risk of stroke and systemic embolism in patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. It should not be used in non-valvular atrial fibrillation patients with a creatinine clearance greater than 95 ml per minute, calculated by the Cockcroft-Gault equation, because of increased risk of ischemic stroke compared to warfarin. It is also FDA indicated for the treatment of deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism following 5 to 10 days of initial parenteral anticoagulant therapy.
So what was the study design for the pivotal Cevesa trial, ENGAGE AF TIMI 48?
Cerveza was studied in a multinational, double-blind, non-inferiority study comparing the efficacy and safety to warfarin in more than 21,000 patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. Patients with documented atrial fibrillation and a CHA2DS2 score of at least 2 or greater were randomized in a 1-to-1-to-1 fashion to receive warfarin, edoxaban 60 mg with reduction to 30 mg in appropriate patients, or edoxaban 30 mg with reduction to 15 mg. Although in this study, the dose was reduced in patients who had impaired renal function with a creatinine clearance of less than or equal to 50 ml per minute, low body weight, less than or equal to 60 kilograms, or who were taking concomitant P-glycoprotein inhibitors, the approved labeling for Cerveza only has recommended dose reduction based on renal function from 15 to 50 ml per minute. It is also important to note that only the edoxaban 60 mg with dose reduction to 30 mg arm was approved by the FDA. A diverse range of patients in this study reflected patients commonly encountered in clinical practice. Approximately 3/4 of the patients had a creatinine clearance less than or equal to 95 ml per minute. Half the CHA2DS2 scores of 3 or greater, and half had CHA2DS2 scores of 2. The median age of the patients was 72, representing an older age group who would be candidates for anticoagulation.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's move on to the patient case. Can you start with the patient's presentation and chief complaint?
Our patient, Lydia, is a 62-year-old woman with a recent diagnosis of non-valvular atrial fibrillation, who is new to oral anticoagulation. She is seeking guidance from her physician on what her treatment options are for managing her non-valvular atrial fibrillation, and she is concerned about her bleeding risk.
What is the patient's past medical and family history?
Medical history includes high blood pressure that has been difficult to control, type 2 diabetes, hypercholesterolemia, osteoarthritis, and a history of a significant GI bleed 3 years ago that required hospitalization and blood transfusion. She subsequently underwent a colonoscopy and was found to have a polyp that was contributing to the GI bleed. She's had no symptoms since that time. Current medications include an angiotensin receptor blocker with a diuretic, verapamil, metformin, a statin, and acetaminophen. She's a part-time bookkeeper and has commercial insurance coverage. Lydia's social history includes active involvement with her family and caring for her grandchildren, regular aerobic workouts 3 times a week, and volunteering. She has no significant family health history.
What were Lydia's physical exam findings?
Lydia is a 62-year-old female. She is 5'5" tall, weighs 140 pounds, and has a body mass index of 23 kilograms per meter squared. Her serum creatinine is 0.8 milligrams per deciliter, and her creatinine clearance is 73 ml per minute, so her renal function is appropriate for treatment with Cerveza.
So based on these findings, Dr. Burke, what are some important considerations regarding anticoagulation use for Lydia?
Lydia is at increased risk for stroke. Her CHA2DS2 score is 2, 1 point for hypertension and 1 point for diabetes. This equates to an annualized stroke risk of about 4.2%. She is looking for guidance on managing her risk of bleeding. Her lifestyle is filled with many activities, often making it difficult to sit down for a full evening meal. History and exam findings show that Cerveza is an appropriate treatment option for this patient.
So based on your clinical experience, what are your thoughts on bleeding risk when making treatment decisions regarding anticoagulation?
Physicians often assess bleeding risk first, even before they evaluate stroke risk. Many patients have at least some level of increased bleeding risk, and this can deter physicians from prescribing needed and indicated oral anticoagulation. Perceived or actual bleeding risk has been shown to be a significant negative predictor for prescribing warfarin. A clinical concern when assessing bleeding risk is that factors such as hypertension, prior stroke, and increased age are risk factors for major bleeding, as well as for ischemic stroke. Concern over the risk of bleeding, both on the part of the healthcare practitioner and the patient, leaves many patients who should be on anticoagulation to reduce stroke risk choosing to not be anticoagulated.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to ReachMD. I'm your host, Dr. Shira Johnson, and I'm speaking with Dr. Martin Burke. Let's move on and discuss results in the label-indicated population. What were the safety results for Cevesa from Engage-AF in the indicated population with a creatinine clearance less than or equal to 95 milliliters per minute?
Cevesa was superior to warfarin with a 16% relative risk reduction in major bleeding. Annual rates of major bleeding were 3.1% for Cevesa versus 3.7% for warfarin. Annual rates of intracranial hemorrhage were 0.5% for Cevesa versus 1% for warfarin, which represents a hazard ratio of 0.44. Annual rates of fatal bleeding were 0.2% for Cevesa versus 0.4% for warfarin, which shows a hazard ratio of 0.51. While there were higher rates of major GI bleeding with Cevesa versus warfarin, 1.8% for Cevesa versus 1.3% for warfarin, there was no difference compared with warfarin in terms of fatal GI bleeding.
And what were the efficacy results in the indicated population receiving Cevesa?
In the indicated population, annual rates of stroke or systemic embolism were 1.2% for Cevesa versus 1.8% for warfarin, which is a hazard ratio of 0.68 and represents a 32% relative risk reduction. Annual rates of cardiovascular death were 2.95% for Cevesa versus 3.59% for warfarin, which is a hazard ratio of 0.82, representing an 18% relative risk reduction.
How is Cevesa dosed?
Cevesa offers a convenient once-daily dosing that can be taken with or without a meal and should be taken at the same time every day. The recommended dosage of Cevesa in non-valvular atrial fibrillation is 60 milligrams once daily in patients with a creatinine clearance of 50 to less than or equal to 95 ml per minute. The dosage is reduced to 30 milligrams once daily in patients with creatinine clearance of 15 to 50 ml per minute. As a reminder, do not use Cevesa in patients with a creatinine clearance of greater than 95 ml per minute. Cevesa is also not recommended in patients with a creatinine clearance of less than 15 ml per minute. If a dose of Cevesa is missed, the dose should be taken as soon as possible on the same day. Dosing should resume the next day according to the normal dosing schedule. The dose should not be doubled to make up for a missed dose.
So with all that in mind, Dr. Burke, is Cevesa an appropriate option for Lydia, our hypothetical patient?
Yes, Cevesa could be an appropriate option for Lydia. Cevesa demonstrated significantly less major bleeding compared to warfarin, and this is especially important in patients like Lydia, who has an active lifestyle and is concerned about her bleeding risk. In addition, no dose adjustment of Cevesa is required with concomitant use of P-glycoprotein inhibitors in patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. This again makes Cevesa an appropriate option for our patient, Lydia, who is taking verapamil.
Dr. Burke, in closing, do you have any key takeaways that you'd like our listeners to remember?
The key takeaways are that Cevesa was studied in a large, well-designed phase 3 trial, the Engage-AF TIMI 48 trial, which evaluated over 21,000 patients with non-valvular atrial fibrillation. A diverse range of patients were studied, representing typical patients who are encountered in clinical practice. Cevesa is the only once-daily, non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulant drug proven to be superior to warfarin with less major bleeding that reduces the risk of stroke and systemic embolism versus well-managed warfarin. Cevesa is a selective factor 10A inhibitor that is dosed once daily and can be taken at any time of the day with or without food. It has a fast onset of action within 1 to 2 hours, and there are no interactions with CYP450. This case discussion of our patient Lydia, who requires treatment to reduce her risk of stroke while taking into account her bleeding risk, highlights some noteworthy considerations in anticoagulant therapy.
On that note, I want to thank Dr. Martin Burke again for his time and insights in helping us understand more about Cevesa for the prevention of stroke and systemic embolism in non-valvular atrial fibrillation. Dr. Burke, it was great to have you with us for this helpful and informative discussion.
Thank you so much for inviting me over.
And now, here's more important safety information. Cevesa is contraindicated in patients with active pathological bleeding. Cevesa increases the risk of bleeding and can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Promptly evaluate any signs or symptoms of blood loss. Discontinue Cevesa in patients with active pathological bleeding. Concomitant use of drugs affecting hemostasis may increase the risk of bleeding. These include aspirin and other antiplatelet agents, other antithrombotic agents, fibrinolytic therapy, and chronic use of nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, and serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, SNRIs. There is no established way to reverse the anticoagulant effects of Cevesa, which can be expected to persist for approximately 24 hours after the last dose. The anticoagulant effect of Cevesa cannot be reliably monitored with standard laboratory testing. A specific reversal agent for edoxaban is not available. Hemodialysis does not significantly contribute to edoxaban clearance. Protamine sulfate, vitamin K, and tranexamic acid are not expected to reverse its anticoagulant activity. The safety and efficacy of Cevesa has not been studied in patients with mechanical heart valves or moderate to severe mitral stenosis. Cevesa is not recommended in these patients. In non-valvular atrial fibrillation, the most common adverse reactions, greater than or equal to 5%, are bleeding and anemia. In DVT and PE, the most common adverse reactions, greater than or equal to 1%, are bleeding, rash, abnormal liver function tests, and anemia. Discontinue Cevesa at least 24 hours before invasive or surgical procedures because of the risk of bleeding. Cevesa can be restarted after the surgical or other procedure as soon as adequate hemostasis has been established. Co-administration of anticoagulants, antiplatelet drugs, and thrombolytics may increase the risk of bleeding. Avoid concomitant use of Cevesa with rifampin. In DVT and PE only, co-administration of certain PGP inhibitor medications requires a dose reduction of Cevesa to 30 milligrams once daily. In nursing mothers, discontinue drug or discontinue nursing. In patients with impaired renal function with creatinine clearance 15 to 50 milliliters per minute, reduce Cevesa dose to 30 milligrams once daily. Use of Cevesa in moderate or severe hepatic impairment is not recommended. Cevesa is classified as pregnancy category C. Please see full prescribing information, including boxed warnings and medication guide, available on the viewer. You've been listening to this medical industry feature on ReachMD, sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo. To learn more about Daiichi Sankyo, please visit www.dsi.com. And if you missed any part of this discussion, please visit reachmd.com/AFib to download the segment. That's reachmd.com/AFib.